and he begins with the membership requirements from the charter of an organization called the Daughters of the Barons of Runnymede. Membership in the society is composed of women who are of legal age and lineal descendants of one or more of the 25 barons selected to enforce the Magna Carta, those barons in arms from the date of King John's coronation until June 15, 1215. Membership is by invitation only. Within the society, there is an Order of Distinction committee composed of members who trace their ancestry to Knights of the Garter, Ladies of the Garter, and Knights of the Bath. Close quote. In the founding decades of American forced schooling, Rockefeller's General Education Board and Carnegie's Foundation spent more money on schools than the national government did. What can a fact like that mean? Because they possessed a coherent perspective, had funds to apply to command the energies of the ambitious, possessed a national network of practical men of affairs, and at the same time could tap a pool of academic knowledge about the management of populations held in the universities they endowed, these and a small handful of men like them commanded decisive influence on forced schooling. Other influences had importance, too, but none more than this commitment of a scientifically benevolent American ruling class, whose oversight of the economy and other aspects of living was deemed proper because of its evolutionary merit by the findings of modern science. The burden of this chapter is to show how a national upper class came about, what was on its mind, and how schools were the natural vehicle it mounted to ride into a scientifically humane, thoroughly utopian future.